So before we jump into our message this morning, I'm going to take a minute to just pray. Let's ask God to open up our hearts, as that song just sang. By the way, there's two themes. As we think about, we're kind of transitioning from marriage to parenting. And there's two themes that hopefully encourage us when we think about that. One is the faithfulness of God. Parenting can make you go crazy, can't it? Right? The faithfulness of God and the fact that His Word is true and powerful. And we need to open up our minds and our hearts to those ancient words that have not changed, will not change, and will give us a foundation for the days ahead as we wrestle through raising up our children to the glory of God. So let's just pray. Father God, thanks for your word today. Thank you, dear God, for all the things, Lord, that have led up to this point. Lord, we've had opportunity to worship you, to hear about the things going on, to lift up our brothers and our sisters. And now, dear God, we want to just turn to your word and we want to hear, Lord, a word from you that will guide us, Lord, as we raise up our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, even our nieces and our nephews. Father God, you have put people, Lord, in the context of our children, parents and others too, Lord, who are a part of raising them up. And I pray, dear God, today that you would give us some real perspective, Lord, on what we need to do, Lord, to make that possible, Lord, that we would achieve the goals of good parenting. Father, I ask that you would just work in our hearts and our minds. I pray, Lord, that you would take away the distractions this morning. There's always a lot of those. And, Father, many of us have things we're doing this afternoon. But, Lord God, help us to hear by your Holy Spirit truth that will really change the way we raise our kids. And we pray, dear God, that we would just be able to raise them up even better for your glory, that you would help us, Lord, if we're struggling, if we're really having a difficult time, Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. And I pray, dear God, that you would just give us some insight today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to jump into our series right now. And Chris, if you just advance into that first slide, my brother. We are going to talk about this idea of building our kingdom's homes, right? Marriage, parenting, and growing together in Christ. And the message we're going to look at today is this idea of going for the goals of parenting. And by the way, we're going to talk about what those goals are. And the message really today is not to teach you everything about parenting, because we're going to spend the next like 5 or 6 weeks working on that. But the message today is to really help us to understand what's our responsibility, what's God's responsibility, and what tools God has given us to make this happen. So we're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning. And I'll throw this out, and I kind of mentioned as I mentioned this morning, surely sometimes we wonder just what is parenting in this day and what goals we ought to focus on. By the way, parenting sometimes seems like it's just problem solving all the time, and it is that. But I want to just share with us from God's word, what does parenting look like in this day and every day? By the way, take out your bulletins. There's a lot here. I want to just mention this, the eternal truth. We kind of laid down the foundation for our series, but notice to get this idea in your mind, I want you to underline some of these thoughts. Parenting is an intentional. In other words, we are planning, we set out to accomplish this with the best of our intentions and our plans. It's an intentional, personal process of obedience to God in which parents train their children from birth through adulthood to seek, trust, and obey God and the people He has placed in authority over them with understanding. And that includes parents, teachers, leaders, so many others, right? God and His Word are the foundation of this training with a refined focus on the heart and motivations of the child. Everybody, right? Underline that for a second. We're not just trying to have our kids behave well when they have to. Now, throw this out. We love it as a parent when our kids behave well in church, when they do well in school, but we're trying to go deeper than just the outside. We want to get to the motivations of their heart, and we want them to be moved by the Spirit of God and the Word of God on the inside to live a godly life and to do what is right. We can't just say, well, my kids graduated college and they're successful. That's great, but we want more than that. We want them to be godly people that bring glory to God throughout their lives, right? And whatever happens. So it's more than just, you know, do they make a lot of money? Do they have a nice car, a nice house? You know, are they an incredible athlete, an incredible whatever? It's so much more, and that's where God's trying to get us to go to. So it's not just about the outward words, actions, successes, or failures. Parents are the key role model, personally demonstrating their character, relationships, identity, and mission daily. Everybody look up for a second. I want us to understand, by the way, as parents, sometimes we talk about this a lot. There's a generation gap, right? And there is. And they say, by the way, experts say that the generation gap today is as wide as has ever been in this world. But let me say this. God has raised you up. God has equipped you. God has equipped me with the tools to parent our kids well in this day. Right? And we can't say it's hopeless, it's too hard, it's impossible, the gap is too wide. No, God has equipped us with what we need to do. And parents are the role models that show the integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the commands and things that God gives us, right? That's so important. So, by the way, the last thing, and I mentioned this, and we've been kind of building on this platform, and we'll talk about this with our marriage conference, everything coming up. A strong marriage is the key building block for success in accomplishing God's parenting goals. And I'll throw this out. By the way, if you are, somehow you became divorced, your husband passed away, your wife passed away, God can still equip you, and God uses the body and other people to come alongside and to team up with single parents to do the same thing. So again, God doesn't leave us where we are without help. So I want you guys just to kind of really hang on to that truth. There's a lot of words there that really speak to the issue, and I want us to really kind of get a grasp on that today. We're going to go to the next slide. We're going to dig right on in this morning. And what I want to talk about today is this, the working definition of parenting. And Chris, if you'd advance that, that'd be helpful. The working definition of parenting. So, you know, we talk about parenting. We want to kind of get into the trenches this morning and think about that a little bit. So I'm going to give you two things. Here's the first one. What is God's perspective on children? What is God's perspective on children? And then we're going to talk about what is parenting? What is it? What are the things that we need to do, we need to think about, we need to learn, we need to grow in, right? So we're going to work through that this morning as we dive in. So the first thing I want to give you guys, and you can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 127. You might remember when we started our series, we started out looking at Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. We'll pick that up real quick at the end this morning. But let's talk about what are children. Some of you guys, everybody look up. Some of you guys are going, they're a pain in the neck. What are children? What are they, right? Well, here's the deal. Look what God says, right? And jot these down. Number one, children are gifts, right? The word of God says this in Psalm 127. He says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from God. And I'm going to throw this out. You know what? As parents, many times God uses our children to change us. You know, when we get married, we kind of come into the world, you know, into that relationship, sometimes kind of selfish. Children will snap the selfishness out of us. Right? They will take your time, your money, and even your mind sometimes. Right? But children are going to help with that idea of selfishness. They're going to change some things for us, right? So children are indeed a heritage from the Lord. It says, the fruit of the womb is a reward. When God gives us children, it's a blessing. It's a reward from God, you know, for our marriages. It's a reward that God is going to use to bless us and bless others. And then he says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Let me stop and think for a second in this picture that the psalmist gives. The idea of Think about it. There's a warrior, right? What does a warrior need to fight? Weapons. Like weapons, right? Like you don't want to fight just hand to hand. It's hard to take on a tank or an airplane or a gun hand to hand. You need weapons. It says, in that day it says, children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. They're the symbol of strength. You know, and as we grow our families, by the way, our battle is against who? It's against the devil, Satan. By the way, it's not against each other. It's not against anybody else out there in the world. Our battle is against Satan. As we raise up godly offspring, by the way, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and even further on down the line, if God blesses you with long life, the purpose of that is we are taking ground. Remember the Lord says this in Matthew. He said that the church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Right? Can you guys hear me okay? All right. Cindy said, we hear you because you got a big mouth. But my mic's not working too hot. So I'm going to use this mic and try to stand still. You know that'll be hard for me, but I'm going to try, right? So I'll set that off. And Chris, how's that? Is that better? All right. So Chris, you can just crank me up a little bit. Don't crank it up too much because it'll hurt your ears. But here we go. So we want to kind of think about this. Look what he says next. He says, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And the idea is children, right, are this blessing, this gift, this reward. They're a joy. They're a symbol of strength and the blessing of God's hand on our relationship. So we kind of get a hold of that. That's who children are. By the way, I'll throw out to you. Let's just be real. Anyone been frustrated with their children this week? But all you grandparents, anybody got some frustrating grandparents too, right? Yeah, right? Amen, right? But remember, that's who they are, and God is using them like he uses everyone else purposefully to accomplish his goals. So we're going to slide right down really quickly this morning, and I want to share with you guys, what is parenting? Just what does it look like? What is it? At core, what is parenting? And this is a working definition, by the way, from Scripture. I did a bunch of research. The American Psychological Association, by the way, came up with these same things, probably using some different things as well along the way to get there. But check it out. Here's what parenting is. Number one, it's meeting the basic needs. You know, I think about that. You know, we have a new grandbaby, Levi, and he lets us know when his basic needs aren't being met. Right? You know, and we can think about what they are, right? To be clean, to be fed, all those kind of things, right? He let Sarah know and us know. And by the way, in the beginning, some of you guys went to the baby shower. They said, boy, he's such a happy baby. In the beginning, he was kind of rough. He was crying all the time, right? So he let us know. But we got to meet their basic needs. Here's the next one. And by the way, we as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, this is our job. Protection, physical and emotional health and safety. We got to make sure our kids are safe. We don't send them out into the street to play. Right? We take care of them. We make sure that, you know, we have those. Anybody have those still on your house? Those little child safety locks on the cabinet? You know, so that you can't get in there, right? You know, we have those. You know, we make sure we put the Tide Pods up on the top shelf. You know, our safety and protection is our job. And by the way, everybody look up. It's not just a physical thing. It's just not protecting our kids from Tide Pods. It's protecting them from the evil one, right? There's so much more than just the physical, right? It's protecting their emotions, letting our kids know that even though they're a pain in the neck sometimes, we love them with the love of God. And we give them the grace of God and the mercy of God. And sometimes we give them the rod of God too, right? But we love them. They have to understand that even our discipline comes in the context of love, like God disciplines us as his children, right? Here's a big thing, right? And we'll talk about this most today. Preparation, right? We are preparing our kids for adulthood and independence as much as is possible for that child. Now, sometimes we have a child with special needs, and their independence might not be quite the same. But we are preparing our kids to be independent and to be adults and to function the way God would want them to function in this world. And that's the key, right? And this thing there is, I kind of said it kind of before, but a basic need. And you could stick love under immediate basic need, but we need to love and nurture our kids. So important. And then we need to teach them. That's also, by the way, that could go under the preparation process, but teaching them values. Everybody get this in your mind. Not just values for today, but values that are eternal. Values, by the way, that haven't changed since God gave us those values in those eternal words, but values that are steadfast, that are sure, that are tried, that come from the mouth and the heart of a living God. That's the values we want our kids to have. And you guys can see the verse. We all know about this verse, and I want to just elaborate quickly on that for a second. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I just want to comment real fast on that. We'll talk about the word train in a second. But this idea is that we are to teach our children when they're young, from birth, the way they ought to go. And the idea is that when they grow up, and this is a general statement, Proverbs are not 100%, but when they grow up, they're not going to walk away from those things that they've learned, right? And that's the goal. We want to teach them that. We want them to understand. By the way, some of the first things we want our kids to know is that God loves them. We love them. Their home is secure. It's stable. It's safe. Like being in the arms of the living God. We want them to understand those things. And I want to share with you this word. As I looked at prepared this message this week, the idea of that word train in Hebrew is really kind of interesting. And it kind of goes along with how you teach a baby how to begin to nurse. And here's the idea of the word. It's an imperative. In other words, this is a command. By the way, who's the subject of this command? Everybody look up. Who's the subject? Parents are the subject. It's implicit, right? The command is you train up your kids in the way they ought to go. And it's implicit to parents. And by the way, the context of this text talks about all the different challenges that kids have. You know, what's more important, riches or character? And that passage that precedes it, the first five verses, talk about some of those things. And it says, but you parents train up a child in the way he ought to go. And I wanted to share with you guys this idea. The Hebrew word has the idea of taking a nursing baby, by the way, maybe since birth, and they would actually rub on the baby's palate oil that was made from dates to get the child to nurse, or to get the child to suck is the idea. You had to kind of prime the pump, so to speak. And this training was so important. It started all the way back at that point for that child to begin to feed himself and nourish himself. He had to learn how to do that. And that's what this training is all about. And I want to throw this out about training. I want to differentiate real quick. Training, teaching. Teaching is like I'm here today teaching, preaching. Training is we're here every week. We do the same thing. As you parent your kids, it's every day, every hour, and sometimes every minute. And they don't always get it because they're kids. And you know, we ask that kind of question. Don't you understand? And sometimes the truth is, no, I really don't. And they're driven. And Proverbs says this later on in the same chapter, chapter 22, verse 15. It says that there's foolishness that is just caught up in the heart of kids, and we got to drive that out. We got to teach them. We got to continually do it. So once you get this idea, we think about training. Training is this. It's teaching a skill or a type of behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. In other words, parenting isn't just, I told you and you're good. It's, I told you, I'm going to tell you again and again and again and again and even some more after that. And I'm going to instruct you, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you. It's an iterative process. It just goes on and on and on. and that's training versus just teaching facts. It's so important for us to get a hold of that. So kind of get those things in your mind, right? What is parenting? Meeting basic needs, protection, preparation, teaching, training, loving, and teaching them values, right? Those are important things. So I want to share with you guys, and I'm going to drive this home again this morning, and Chris, advance me if you would, please. So important, right? What are these commands? What does God want us to do, right? And I want to go out right off the bat. Understand, all these passages make it real clear that parenting is something that is done by the parents, right? And you might say, what are these commands? And I want you guys to get this in your mind. Scripture is clear. As I go throughout Scripture, it makes it clear who's responsible, but also makes it clear what needs to be done. And I'll take you to Titus chapter 2. First off, by the way, the focus is on mom in this message part anyway. Look what it says. It says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. For the older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And by the way, look what it says. And I want you guys to understand this, that when we want to talk about parenting, we need to go to the Word of God and we need to hear from the Church of God what needs to take place in our world. We're hearing from everybody else out there and changing our mind and making us do certain things, but what does God's Word say? Here's what God's Word says. This idea of love. It says that the older women in the church ought to be admonishing, correcting, teaching, impacting the lives of the younger women to do what? To love their husbands. You might say, those dogs. Yeah, love them anyway, right? But the older women, they'd be teaching us, the younger women, that's what needs to happen, right? Look what it says next. To love their children. Like, love is a command that God gives, that young women who are of childbearing years and women who have young children, love your kids. We know it's tough, but keep on loving them. That's an important thing, and that needs to be taught. And the church, by the way, is supposed to be this kind of training center. And by the way, I just want to clarify one thing. I am not a perfect parent. Jane's a little more perfect than me, but she's not perfect either. There's no perfect parent that's out there. If there were, we would bring him up here and he would make a whole lot of money and get us all straight. Right? But we don't have, there's nobody out there like that. We're all a mess. We all struggle. We all wrestle. And by the way, when we come to the Church of Jesus Christ, we understand that we all make mistakes. And we're not here in the Church of Christ to point out, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're a terrible parent. We're here to pick up the pieces and get people back on the right track and train them, right? And it says here that the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their kids. Next slide, Chris, if you will. Next thing is this. Now we're going to go to dad. Look what it says. It says, and you fathers, and by the way, we are, God knows our heart, doesn't he? Aren't we good at this, dads? You know, hey, dad, I got 85. What? How come you didn't get 95? Right? You know, that's what dads do. We always want more, 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 right? But it says, and you fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. But look what it says. But bring them up in the training or the nurture and the admonition, in other words, where God is correcting what we're doing wrong, of the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. So again, by the way, in case it's not clear, parents are responsible to parent. And a spiritual emphasis is on us. Let me say this. I'm not pointing fingers at all of you because we all struggle with balancing our lives between work, our marriages, everything else. It's hard to do all those things, but God doesn't give us a pass because we are responsible to parent our kids. And it's tough, and it's never ending, right? Notice the next thing, this idea, and we mentioned it already, Proverbs. Remember I mentioned the first part of Proverbs? Look what he says. He says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And that's the kind of concepts that God wants us to pass on to our kids. Hey, it's not about how much money you make. It's about who you are. Right? Loving favor rather than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. And look what it says then. Train up a child in the way he ought to go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So training is a command that God gives us, right? Notice, by the way, when you think about the book of Proverbs, and I had a chance to read a lot of Proverbs this week thinking about this stuff, man, Proverbs just talks about it so much. And by the way, who's the author of Proverbs? Solomon, the wisest man. He didn't do it all right, all perfectly himself, but he's the wisest guy, and God used him to write down these Proverbs or these wise statements that we might live life well and that we might live wisely. In other words, wisdom is this, knowing how to live life well. How to take the things that he gives us, that God gives us, and using it well. And look what he says here. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And when we train our kids, that's the foundational spot. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He says, my son, and by the way, if you look in the first like 10 chapters of Proverbs, he says, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son. And he talks about fathers and mothers over and over and over. And look what he says. He says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, so they will be a graceful ornament on your head and change about your neck. In other words, when we obey what God's word says and we instruct our kids, it is going to be a blessing to them. They're not going to make as many bad choices. They're still going to make some because they're going to disobey, but they're not going to make as many bad choices that are going to impact their lives. And you guys know that. Sometimes the choices that we make impact us for a lifetime. And we have to understand that. So we got to train these kids, right? And Proverbs continues, and Chris, advance me if you would, please. Proverbs keeps telling us this, right? Look at verse chapter 3 of Proverbs. It says this. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. And I'll throw this out. You can't say this statement if you didn't teach your kids. Our job, the command, is train them, train them, train them. And he says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. I'm going to step back on that. Understand that part of training is this. We have to tell them when they're wrong. Does that make sense? When they're wrong spiritually, when their priorities are out of whack, we have to recorrect the priorities. We have to tell them when they're wrong. And I want to throw this out to you. You'll hear parents say this all the time. Well, I'm going to let them grow up and let them choose who they follow. I'm going to let them choose what faith they have. You know, I'm going to let them choose what they want to do. They manage their time. They're in high school now. No, no, no. We need to train them and help them set the priorities that are God's. Amen. Right? That's the key, right? By the way, is that going to be hard? Is that going to be a fight? Yes. But God's given us that, and he's equipped us to handle those things. So we got to chasten them. And by the way, God chastens us. Anybody been chastened by God? You know, you do something and like, whack, you get hit by, you know, something else happens in life. God chastens us. And look what he says. It says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So here's the deal. We can delight and love our kids, but we got to tell them when they're wrong. You know, and I'll throw this out. Not in a mean-spirited, condescending, awful way. We got to come alongside them with a humble heart and say, hey, we mess up too. And I see this in your life, and this is challenging, and this is wrong, and we got to go a different way. Right? And again, modeling dad and mom. You know, mom and dad are never wrong. The kids are never going to be wrong either. Does that make sense? You know what I mean by that? We got to model before them what that looks like. We got to train, right? Training is so critical. Chris, advance this again, please. We got to teach, right? And I want to spend some time. And by the way, this is a passage. I want to encourage you guys. We're not going to cover all this stuff today, and you're going to walk out and go, I know exactly what to do. We're not going to get to that place. I wish we could, but we're not going to. But here's the deal. We need to teach our kids. And I want to throw out to you guys, we need to teach them the word of God. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 is such a critical passage to think about. And look what it says. It says, now this is the commandment And these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you. You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. I want to step back. Children obeying your parents is called the first commandment with promise. And the promise is, generally speaking, you're going to live longer if you do what your parents say. You're not going to make as many foolish choices. You're going to have an idea about what's right and what's wrong and what's dangerous and what's safe, and you're going to live longer. And God says that. And in this case, he says this: if we obey God, it's going to prolong our days. And that's a truthful thing. And we got to kind of get a hold of that. He kind of teases this whole passage up. And he tells them, he says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the idea is, again, God blesses obedience to him. God blesses obedience. And we're supposed to teach that to our kids. Not obey because I said so, but obey because God says so, and it's really good for you when you do. We got to get that point across. Chris, advance me again, please. Check this out. This is what I want us to kind of dwell on for a second today. We're going to go to the Lord's table shortly. So these commands, right? Look what it says. And these commands which I command you today shall be in your heart. So everybody look up for a second. What's he talking about? In other words, you can't teach the commands of God to your kids unless you own them yourself. Amen. Right? It's kind of hard. What's that phrase they say? Don't do as I say, do as I, you know, don't do as I do as I say. Right? A lot of times I was kind of messing that up. We kind of do the opposite. We're like, yeah, you do as I say, and I'm going to do what I want to do, you know, as parents. And by the way, that is terrible role modeling, will not help, right? But look what he says here. He says, and these words I command today shall be in your heart. And kind of get this as parents, right? You shall teach them diligently to your children. So there's sort of a little bit of sweat in this comment, in this command, right? In other words, you got to keep at it. By the way, everybody look up. Is that easy? Do they want to hear it? Nope, they don't want to hear it. Anybody have any teenagers in your house? Or 20-somethings, all the same, right? Don't they know everything? There is nothing that they don't know. That's right. Right? It's going to be tough, and we have to keep coming back saying, you know, does that make sense? You know, let's look at this picture. You know, when they're out of your house, when they're in their 20s, and you're still trying to help them get along, sometimes you got to kind of go logically, well, let's look at this picture. Does this make sense? And sometimes they go, yeah, you're right. Very begrudgingly. Very begrudgingly, right? But you have to kind of keep confronting in a godly way so they understand. But he says, teach them diligently to your children. And you guys might say, well, when am I supposed to do that? It says, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You may have seen this before. In fact, this was the issue just a few years ago on an airplane. Many Hasidic Jews will take a box, and they'll have some of the scriptures in the box, and they will literally put a headband on, and that box will be on their forehead. Anybody ever see that? Right? That was an issue like with the TSA like a while back. That actually happened. Someone's like, what is that thing? What is that box? Right? But the point is, right, is that these things, these commands that God gives us, we are challenging and bringing those commands to our kids all the time. And I'll throw out to you. Anybody drive their kids to school? Raise your hand. Anybody drive their kids to games? Raise your hand. Anybody drive their kids to the arts, performances? Anybody drive their kids to that? Right? Here's the deal. Every time you're driving them around, they are captive audience.
process with them what is going on in their life, what is going on in school, and bring the word of God to bear to their situations. That's what he's talking about. That's how we do it. You know, and by the way, when they're really young, you can just kind of teach them, maybe have a devo with them every night or multiple times a week. Those are all good things to do that with. But as they get older, you got to kind of tie them down sometimes. How are we going to get them? You know, I have spent, I don't know how many miles and hours driving my car to games, right? I have gone to places I didn't know exist, right? Think about all that time is time to build your relationship with your kids and talk about life. What are they experiencing and how does God's word address those issues, right? Those are things to do, and we all do that. So we have to understand that parenting is a 24/7 thing. I will never forget, and it's kind of embarrassing, but I'll say it. Sometimes, by the way, who likes to go on vacation? Preach it, brother. Amen. We love it, right? When you go on vacation with your kids, is it just like heaven on earth? Yeah, sometimes it's the other place on earth, right? Yeah, right? But stop thinking about that. Like, sometimes your kids make you so angry. You're trying to do nice things with them and spend money and spend time. And it's just like they're just so unappreciative, not thankful. And they just want to make you, they want to make you, Pastor Anson said, amen, right? We just want to leave them there sometimes, right? We want to take them on vacation and leave them there and not bring them back home, right? But that's kind of the idea. What he's trying to get across to us is that parenting is a 24/7 long-term commitment in our lives. And even when we get to be, our kids are out of the house, they still need insight, they still need help, they still need to look in the mirror sometimes. Again, hopefully with a parent that has credibility that has been earned because the integrity of their life over the years, then we can say some things to them and help them understand, help them correct things that God would want them to see. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about. That's what parenting is really all about. And we're going to pick up the parenting ball more next week, but we've kind of defined that's what parenting is, right? It's all those things. And we're going to come back and define some more. And then next week we're going to talk about, there's just really four things that we want to focus our energy on. And if you look in your bulletin outline, they're right there. We'll begin to talk about the first one next week. But as we parent our kids, there's really four areas of focus that we want to give them. One is character, godliness. The second one is how to have healthy relationships. And we need to communicate them love and forgiveness and grace and humility. The third thing is their identity, who God created them to be. By the way, that has so many implications, especially today. And finally, we want our kids to be on mission, a godly life of selfless purpose. So we'll come back to that. So here's the thought. Could we use some insight from God's word on parenting? Yes. Amen. So we're going to work our way through that over the next several weeks and just kind of think about it. And by the way, if you're here as a grandmom, a great-grandmom, grandfather, whatever the case is, all these things are so insightful because you guys as grandparents in this day are doing a lot of the heavy lifting in these areas. You know, I praise God that my parents and Jane's parents watched our kids when we had to go to work. You know, we couldn't really pass all that responsibility to them. We're still responsible, God, to parent them. But praise God that our kids were there in a safe place and they learned good values when we couldn't be with them, right? So grandparents, parents, great-grandparents, you guys are vital. You've lived life. There's a level of respect that your age gives you that can be really a blessing and help to raise up these kids and to help our kids raise their kids. Amen? Amen? So we're going to try to work together as the body and work through this stuff. And I just want to leave you guys with one thing. Everybody look up for a quick second. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table right now. So you're one of our deacons who are doing that. Come on up today. But you know what? The fact that we are God's people through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, The power that raised Jesus from the grave is the power that we live with every day. It's the power that can help us raise up our kids the way God wants them to be. So we take heart in that this morning. So we're just going to close with a word of prayer, and we're going to ask our other ushers to come in and make sure we have our elements. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, that you give us, Lord, everything that we need to accomplish the purposes that you've given on earth, even parenting. And I want to pray, Father God, that you would work in our heart, Lord, right now. Help us, dear God, to understand, Lord, what your will is. Help us, dear God, to accept the responsibility, Lord, and to take it with both hands as parents. And I pray, dear God, as we come to the Lord's table right now, I pray, Lord, that you would just put into our hearts, Lord, a spirit of thanksgiving. Father, as we reflect on what Jesus did for us, as we evaluate our lives and understand, Lord, just where we fall short, I pray, dear God, that you would cause us, Lord, today to just recommit ourselves to you as our Lord and our Savior. And I ask, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts to just point out areas, Lord, where we are lacking even right now. Father, we want to praise you for your grace today and your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for your word and its instruction. Lord, we just kind of scratched the surface today on parenting. But I ask, dear God, that you would help us to work that out, Lord, in the weeks ahead, that we would grow in your grace and knowledge in this area. And I pray all these things now in Jesus' name.